children. We're starting.
That's right.
Showtime. Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 74 of Shutters Inc., the episode which will henceforth be known as the Woo Bloody Who episode.
And why is that, pray tell, young Bruce?
We have Gorilla Pods.
Yes, we do. Yes, we absolutely
fantastic.
Do.
Mate, I should let you tell the story, seeing as how you are the one who managed to pull this off.
Oh, look, you know, we're a team, you and me, mate. There's, you know, no glory here, but yes, you're right. It had nothing to do with Bruce, and it was all me. We had the, as you all know, the recent Photo Expo in Melbourne, the Photo Industry Expo, and I got a chance to speak to the importers of the Gorilla Pods here in Australia, film and video extras, and I mentioned the situation, and basically from there on in, he took the ball, ran across the field with it, and you will all be receiving your Gorilla Pods. He contacted, you know, the head office where from whence they come, and all is taken care of. So very much thanks to the good people
to Carrie
Carrie Alam at Film and Video Extras, and of course the good people at Joby who provide the Gorilla Pods for us. So all of those people who've been so patiently waiting, and we do thank you so much for not screaming down the emails at us. You've been wonderful and have borne with us. We appreciate that, and of course it's now going to pay off. You'll all be getting your Gorilla Pods. And the nice thing about this is that the company has said, look, we'd love to be involved with your podcast, and we may be able to offer some more, you know, competition and products and stuff in the future, which, you know, from them, which is basically great. What they said.
Yeah.
So, you know, stick around, folks, because we're all firing here. We're on fire on all cylinders.
So my apologies that it took so long. I must admit I was very close to giving up on the whole thing. You know, it's been almost, what, 8, 9, maybe even 10 months?
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was very close to just putting the whole thing to bed and saying, ah, stuff it, we're not going to see it. So it's really nice that it's sort of all come together at the last minute.
Yes.
And yeah, as Shelton said, thank you to everyone for your patience. So.
It has been wonderful. And, you know, I'm looking forward to using it. I haven't had a chance, you know, to really, you know, have a serious look at one yet and, you know, and use one. I have a feeling I'll be using mine I'll probably use it a lot with my Ricoh GR, but I have a feeling I'll be using mine for setting up flash units.
Little, I was going to say, it'd be really nice having a wireless flash and being able to throw it on the GorillaPod.
Yeah, you know, I'm standing around, my left arm has become about a foot longer, you know, holding my SP flash unit off to the side. But it'd be nice to actually just sort of be able to plonk it somewhere and say, okay, this is how we're gonna light this, and especially using wireless flash. But I mean, anyone can use their Gorilla Pod for that, using even a slave flash or, you know, however you want to link it up. But don't you think it's for your camera that, you know, you can use it to set up a little external light as well, or anything, you know, anything that fits into that quarter inch screw. That's the great thing about it. So looking forward to hearing all your reports about, hey, I got mine. So when yours comes in the mail, please let us know that you've got it, because it'll be all good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking about emails, thank you all very much. Ever since the podcast last week, I've received emails with either URLs. This is the advice that I got from your podcast, and I tried this and it worked. Please go to my Flickr site. And so I've been checking out your photographs to see how if what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks about lighting is, you know, is working on you all, and it is. Thank you very much. Phil Peck, thank you very much. He's a new listener to the podcast, so we welcome you with open arms, Phil, and thank you. Yes, you got it right, as did you, Bob. Bob Iverson, thank you very much for sending your photographs through, and it's nice to see the
I'll have to get you to forward those through to me, mate, because I don't have copies of them. So.
Yeah, sure, I will, because it's nice to see that what we talk about here at the podcast, people sort of head out with their cameras on the weekend and say, I'm going to give that a try.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, because you know that then they've, see, when they've actually, it's one thing to listen to or read something, but when you actually take it out and do it, you then really remember it. Hey, I did that, and it works. You know, I remember when I was a teenager first taking up photography, a friend of mine who was sort of steering me in all the right direction, he said, look, don't actually, you know, we say we learn by our mistakes, but as I've said on this podcast, I think before, don't actually learn from your mistakes. Learn from your successes, because then you'll repeat them. So if you've taken this lighting technique that we talked about last week, which was to reveal shape, then you basically have now got that. If you've taken it out and used it, you've now got it in your mind, and you can say, yes, you know, I've done that, and I'll remember to do it again. And you will find that you will use that information in so many circumstances and mix it in with other bits and techniques that you know, and your photography will become, every time you take a picture, your photography thought, your thought process will become a mixture of all these techniques that you've tried, and your photography will just blossom and improve out of sight by just simply practicing one technique at a time. So thank you all very much again for sending those through. It's very encouraging to me when you do that, because I'm seeing that what we're talking about here is actually working on your photography, and that means a lot to me, believe it or not. It really does. So, I know I'm getting all emotional here, but no, it does. It means a lot to me, because I really enjoy teaching photography and helping people out with their images whenever possible. So knowing that that it's working, and some of the pictures I receive are just fabulous.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, it's really great. So thank you all very much. We any other news you're in, Bruce, or shall we go on?
I was going to say, did you get a chance to have a look at the gallery that I put up?
Yes, I did.
Which I haven't shared yet. I will share in this episode.
Yeah, you took some nice images there, mate.
I was pretty happy with them.
Yeah. I mean, they're straight out of the camera pictures, and they're really nice.
Yeah.
The Dubbo Zoo.
Mm-hmm. Western Plains Zoo at Dubbo, yeah.
Just to
fill everyone in, last weekend was Mother's Day, and I said to Kath, you're not going to get a Mother's Day present. We're going away for the weekend, and didn't tell her where we were going. And so, we went out to Dubbo on the Friday night. We spent Saturday at the zoo, and then Sunday we did the Dubbo Jail and then Wellington Caves on the way.
So, in other words,
you
said to Kath, you're going to jail for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Just the epitome of romance, aren't you, Bruce? I'm going to take you to, we're going to put you in a cage. You know. No, I'm sorry. You had a lovely weekend.
We had a great time. So I will put the link to the little gallery that I made up on the Shutters Inc. page. So if anyone wants to have a look at the stuff that I shot at the zoo and the jail and the caves, you can.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and of course, anybody wants to keep up with the things I'm doing, there's always my blog, which you can access via my website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few new things up there. It was, that I've done recently. So in case you're wondering whether I practice what I preach, it ain't too hard to find out. Well, we're going to talk about the second part of lighting today. And again, this is something for you to all head out. And this is probably a little bit more important and a little bit more difficult to perhaps learn and practice is the second one, which is using light to reveal form. Because, of course, as we know, a photograph is a two-dimensional thing. And the problem with that is that it can be, unless we use light correctly, that can be a pretty boring thing sometimes. Two dimensions, because we're used to living in three. But an impactful is one that actually appears three-dimensional or gives you, an innate sense of three dimensions in two. If you can use light to reveal that, then you're doing well. And that's why it's so important. That's why, for instance, when, as we've said before in this podcast, photographers set up studios, what they're actually learning to do and what the studio is for is light management. And we go to great lengths to not only position the light correctly and to position ourselves in relation to our subject, in relation to the light, etc., correctly, but we go to great lengths to actually modify the light source by using brollies, scrims, soft boxes, reflectors, all sorts of snoots and hoods and anything we can get our hands on that will shape the light or texture the light or feather the light, soften the light, whatever, however we can. And if we think about that, if we really think about that and take that into our everyday photography, we start to understand the importance of light, especially when we wish to reveal form, three dimensions, not only the shape of something, which is what we talked about last week, but also its three-dimensional form. Now, angled lighting, creates graduated tones. And the shadows created in those graduated tones give us an idea of form. It's really shadow that does. Shadow and texture give us an idea of, you know, three-dimensional forms in the mind, and that's really all we can, you know, we can hope for. The kind of light that we use is also very important, because diffused light, soft light, which is the kind of, you know, light you would say if you were in a studio, you'd use a soft box or maybe a Brolly or, you know, a very large Octolite or any of those, you know, beautiful, beautiful things that they sell to diffuse the light so that nothing is so that the shadows are there, but they're not too harsh. Once you burn out or, you know, darken, you know, if your contrast is too heavy, which is something that is not always a bad thing, but it can also take away the idea of form. But that's really a personal call, and it will depend from subject to subject. But if you diffuse the light, or if you have diffused light, say on an overcast day, you can reduce the contrast and give you greater detail in the shadows. But remember that you need to have shadows. You need to have that so that you get an idea of form. So you don't want to, you know, have it completely without shadow, which is what I've sometimes heard of photographers trying to do, but you really need those to create the idea of three dimensions. A hard light, which is, you know, pretty punchy stuff, say direct sunlight or full undiffused flash, and little reflection will give you less detail in the shadows. Now, that's not always a bad thing, but if you look at a photograph that is really contrasty and a photograph with less contrast and nice even shadows, you will probably see a difference between how they convey dimension to you. If you have better detail in the shadows than say full contrast, you'll get a greater feeling of the dimension of the subject, but also you'll have an idea of its texture, which is something we're going to talk about a little bit more. You can, of course, use hard light to convey form. You really can. I'm not saying you can't, but and you'll need to decide which of the two, you know, you're going to use in any particular thing. I will actually, if you like, Bruce, send some images, say some landscapes and some portraits that give us an idea of what we're talking about. So
sure.
go to the audiotu.com website, and I'll send you some, and we'll upload some images that give you an idea of how light can be used in various ways to reveal form. Now, a lot depends on the nature of the subject, where the light is positioned, and where you are, as we said earlier, in relation to not only your subject, but the light. Now, this can take some orchestration. You need to perhaps ensure that your subject is turned to the light so that it reveals as many surfaces and angles as you possibly can. Now, if it's a landscape, or if it's some fixed, immovable object, some great rocky outcrop, or a monolith of some kinds, a building, a house, anything that's relatively immovable, then either you're going to have to orchestrate yourself, or you're going to have to be there at the right time of day or the right kind of light. But either way, there's this relationship that we need to put in place as photographers, whereby we set ourselves up in relation to the subject, which needs to be also established in relation to the light source in order to reveal form. Now, that takes a little bit of doing. But if the subject is movable, let's say it's a human being, you know, and we're doing an outdoor portrait session, well, then you have complete control. You need then to find the right time of day and be in the right light at the right time. But then you also need to position yourself, yes, in relation to the subject, which needs to be turned or angled in the proper relation to the light, so that you've got light, you know, feathering across the subject, maybe at a nice 45 degree angle, something like that, or it could even be a 90 degree if that's what you want. But a 45 degree will reveal more dimension than, say, a full 90 would, you know, if the light was at a full 90 degrees. But either way, you have control, especially in an outdoor portrait situation, to, you know, maneuver yourself into position and your subject into position. And that takes, as I said, a little bit of doing. But I'd like it if everybody who has, you know, a bit of a chance on the weekend and they're in the right light to give this a try, to take their best friend, their best lover, their best wife, their best girlfriend, and give this a try because it is
your best wife.
Best wife, yes. Right. Well, we do have listeners in Utah, I right. presume. So, hello to all our listeners in Utah. But I'm just thinking that by actually getting out and doing this, you know, you will see what I mean, rather than just, you know, listening to this podcast. And the reason I make a point of this is that one of the greatest mistakes that I do, that I see, is poor photographer to subject relationship in terms of where the light is coming from. I see that so often, and it is a shame because you can often be so, what's the word, obsessed with, you know, overwhelmed by, involved with the context and the setting.
The subject, yeah.
But the context in which the subject is found, and this is especially true in, say, bridal and wedding photography and outdoor portrait photography, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, that we go to this fabulous place. I love this backdrop, you know, I love the setting behind, and so we put the subject in this setting, and not only, of course, do we completely make the subject disappear by thinking so much about the context, but because we're so concerned with, I love the flowers, I love the trees, that we don't position the subject in relation to the light as the most important thing. Really, if the subject is the person and we want to create a level of dimension to that subject, then the context is nowhere near as important as how we position ourselves in relation to the subject. And then how we position that subject in relation to the light. So there's this three-way sort of relationship going on: the light, the subject, the photographer. And, you know, have a bit of an experiment. Head out there and literally, you know, get your subject to you know, walk around in a circle and take some photographs as you go, and get your subject to move with you as you do, and then see how the light, if you've especially got a, you know, a directional light source like the sun at that time rather than an overcast day, how the light has altered everything you see. And you'll find, especially if you've used minimal depth of field and all those other outdoor portrait techniques, that really the background won't be anywhere near as important as how the light has revealed dimension, the nature of it in terms of hardness and softness, and of course, you know, your relationship to the subject in that. So it really is quite important. This is why we've talked about light as being the secret of good photography. It's no secret, but it is very true. It's important. Light is more important than context in so many ways, because it is, as we've talked about, it is used to reveal shape. And it is also used to reveal form. If we, you know, ensure that our subject is turned to the light to reveal as many surfaces and angles as possible, then we're creating a lot more interest. Especially then, now this would be true when we're, say, working with a portrait subject, a bride, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, whatever it might be, a wife, other wife, then we had to throw that in, Bruce. But, you know, also make sure that you've posed your subject with extra dimensions, so that, you know, maybe the body is on a 45 degree angle to the light, you know, or to the camera, but into the light, whereas the face is maybe across the shoulder looking straight down the lens, that sort of thing. And then, using light, we create this really great, you know, notion of dimension, and we get an idea of how big the subject is, what the shape of the subject is, especially in relationship to its surroundings, you know, and its form. It really is very, very important. Backlighting, as we learn, silhouettes the subject and gives us an idea of shape. But using light to reveal form is very important. Using both at the same time is also very powerful. Last week we talked about rim lighting. Now imagine if you use rim lighting to reveal shape, but you had, maybe in an outdoor portrait situation particularly, a large reflector that you could throw back the light, especially on an angle, and I've done this often at weddings, rim light the bride and get a reflector off to the side, and it's like having a studio. You've got a hair light. And you've got, you know, soft light coming in to
light the face.
To light the face. At my nephew's wedding, and I know I talk about this a lot, but I did exactly that with Melissa, his bride. rim lit her using backlighting, but then used a reflector off to my left or right. I can't remember where my other nephew was placed. He was one of the groomsmen, and I had him as Reflector Boy. That became his name, Reflector Boy. And he was using the reflector, and I said, look, move a little more to your light. Right, that, to your left. Yeah, that's it. Perfect. And I was able to do both using one light source, the sun. So in that image, and I'll send it to you now that I think about it, I'm having these epiphanies as I speak. I will send you that image to give you an idea of not only have we revealed shape by the rim lighting, but we've revealed form by reflecting light back on an angle so that you get an idea of the shape of her face also, which you wouldn't had we just used the rim lighting.
I'm actually wondering if that isn't one of the shots you've already sent us. Because I remember looking at one of them and thinking, oh, that's fantastic. You know, he's got the sunlight behind her and this lovely halo around her, but he's obviously used either fill flash or a reflector to light her face. So I'm not sure if that's the same shot. Was it taken in that shady gateway?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's one you've already sent us.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have a look, and if that's the case, then beauty, you can head back and have a look at that. But it's a very, very powerful way of
using
light.
It's a great shot.
Thank you. A beautiful young bride, beautiful light. What else could I do?
You know? She wasn't hard to look at, that's for sure.
She's a beautiful young girl. And so and lovely in spirit, too. He's done well, my nephew. He's really done well there. But look, give that a try. And you mentioned, of course, and appropriately so, fill flash. And if you've got off-camera flash, imagine if I didn't have a reflector, I would have been able to use, you know, some flash to light a little bit. And I would have taken it. Now, here's the thing. I would have taken the flash off the camera, off the hot shoe, because that's frontal lighting and it wouldn't reveal much form. But I would have, as I've often done, held it out with my hand off to my left or to my right and had the light go across the subject at an angle so that I not only have, as I said, the rim lighting revealing shape, but also, you know, the light revealing form. So you get to see how her face is shaped, you know, how big her nose is or small her nose is or whatever. I mean, that is the whole reason in studio that photographers use broad lighting, narrow lighting, Rembrandt lighting, and butterfly lighting, because they look at a face and they say, how can I, what lighting method will I use to complement and highlight the shape of this face? Or to perhaps diffuse flaws in the shape of the face. If someone's face is a little, you know, round or a little thin, you know, and they, oh, I don't like my face, or I'm a bit fat at the moment, you know, or whatever. I don't know why I put on that accent just then, but, you know, if that's the way they feel, then photographers go, oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this $1 million shot. And they don't, this is how they're thinking. I'm going to actually use either narrow lighting or broad lighting to, you know, alter how the face is seen and therefore complement it. Now, using those principles, take those out into the field with you and understand that photographers manipulate light so that they can complement and highlight shape and form. If we do that in as many opportunities as we can, we will begin to see our photography, you know, completely change, and our subjects start to really reveal themselves in our images. That's why, and this is really why, you just take that flash off the hot shoe, and or you know, don't use straight down the barrel flash, because it has very little to do with revealing form. It's the wrong kind of light, and it's the wrong direction of the light. So try these, take these principles out, give them a try. Keep sending me your emails, because I love it, I really do. And if I don't get a chance to respond straight away, just understand that we have a lot of downloads on this podcast, and I get a bit of correspondence. So please just understand that I've received your email, and I really appreciate it. And if I get a chance, you know, I will respond.
And I would just say, if you are sending images, if it's not too much of a drama, copy me on the email at studio@audiotier.com as well. Because unfortunately, there's something about the way this hosting service of mine is set up that I can't get, you know, one copy of the email to go to Shelton and one copy to come to me. It'll only go to one place. So
yes, no worries.
Sorry,
no
Shelton, worries. You were about to say next week.
Next week, we're going to talk about using light to reveal texture, and this is an add-on. Let's let's talk about how we've already talked about shape and form. Imagine that we could use, that we could reveal shape, form, and texture in our subject. Now our subject is starting to become very real in the image, and that's a very, very, very powerful thing. So we're going to talk about how we use light to reveal texture in our next podcast. Cool. And then, of course, we're going to talk about color, and we're going to talk about emotion in our light. So these are, there's great reasons to come back each week and listen to us rave on for the first few minutes, and then
crap, laugh,
music, cue music,
roll the credits. Oh,
I got an email from Richard, didn't I, Richard? Thank you. And yes, Richard, you're welcome, mate. Thank you for giving us something to talk. Thank you. A new caption for our show. I think we'll change the name of it from Shutters Inc. to Crap 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 On. Tip, crap, crap, giggle, finish. .com.
Excellent.
So there we go. So come back next week. We're going to talk a lot more about using light. A very, very important lesson. And keep those emails coming, folks. I'm really appreciating it.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Thank you very much.
No worries.
And thank you again for getting the Gorillapod thing happening. That's great.
That's my pleasure. I will bask in the glory of all the emails that are about to come with expressions of gratitude therein attached.
All right, mate. You have a good week.
You too, mate.
I'll talk with you next week.
You bet. See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.